You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July 21st, 2020, a new majority showing voters, a new poll showing a majority of voters believe U.S. society is racist. A poll conducted by the Wall Street Journal and NBC News. Of those Americans asked, do you think this society is racist? 56% agreed. It also varied among certain demographics. 66% of women say they agreed, compared to 46% of men. And of course, when you look at political basis, Democrats agreed at 82% that the U.S. society is racist. 30% of Republicans believe it is. In the meantime, another survey, an ABC Washington Post survey just released, shows that a majority of voters reject cutting funds from police and moving the money to social services. Yes, we're hearing a lot of folks say we need to defund police, defund police. Well, this majority of Americans, 63%, say they, in this poll, support the Black Lives Matter movement. But at the same time, only 40% support cutting funding to police. 55% are against cutting money for police. In Portland, violence again last night. 54 nights of demonstrations. Attacking police, federal agents, doing what they can to cause violence, chaos, mayhem, anarchy. They were joined last night by Portland moms and dads wearing yellow shirts trying to stand between the protesters and federal agents or police. But the problem is they're not there trying to stop the violence in total. They just are there to tell the feds you should go home. One of them said, I found it wrong the federal government's trying to come here and prevent people from protesting, exercising their right to assemble and protest. That is not what they're doing, lady. They're not just doing that. They're coming with various objects to throw at police. They're throwing Molotov cocktails and commercial fireworks into buildings, starting fires. And it's not just in Portland. You've got it continuing in Chicago and Atlanta and New York, and federal agents might well be sent into those. President Trump has made it clear that he might do it. And first of all, federal statutes say federal agents must protect federal property. The president said, if you're not going to take care of, you're not going to defend your public and your citizens, then I will. Dateline St. Louis. The St. Louis City Circuit Attorney decided, yes, I am going to file charges and prosecute Mark and Patricia McCloskey. That's the couple that stood in front of their home waving weapons as protesters came down a private street telling them, do not step on our property. The St. Louis City Circuit Attorney, a Democrat, sees this as a crime. The Missouri Attorney General and the Missouri Governor say this is just a political prosecution. And the Missouri Governor says, if by chance they're found guilty, I will pardon them. Former Vice President Joe Biden is coming up with, he thinks, something that will get him some votes. A universal preschool, expanded child care, and in-home elder care, costing something like $775 billion. How's he going to get it? He wants to roll back tax breaks. Good luck with that. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, we'll throw out the first pitch for the Washington Nationals on their opening day, Thursday. Dr. Fauci, I'm sure he'll be wearing a mask. In fact, he's featured in one photo with a mask that has Washington Nationals all over it. Now, President Trump already responding to both the protests across the nation and sports restarting, and those players who decide to take a knee during the national anthem. The president saying on Twitter today, looking forward to live sports, but any time I witness a player kneeling during the national anthem, a sign of great disrespect for our country and our flag, the game is over for me. I guess he missed what happened yesterday in the game between the San Francisco Giants and Oakland Athletics in their exhibition game, because the Giants manager and other players were kneeling during the national anthem. But what the president has expressed, we saw also during the NFL season, among many others. It happens. The game is over.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We have dozens, if not hundreds, of federal troops descending upon our city. And what they're doing is they are sharply escalating the situation. Their presence here is actually leading to more violence and more vandalism. And it's not helping the situation at all. They're not wanted here. We haven't asked them here. In fact, we want them to leave.
Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler, blaming federal agents for all the violence that's happening in Portland. You ever get caught up in the question of which came first, the chicken or the egg? I tried that the other day with my grandson. I said, there's a question that a lot of folks have never been able to solve. Tell me this. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? And he thought for a moment, and well, Quentin, you said the chicken? Quentin said the chicken. Well, that's what he said, too. Well, the question then is, how did the chicken get there? The chicken comes from an egg. Ah, Quentin jumped ahead. He pointed up to the heavens. God put the chicken there. That's kind of where my grandson came down. But for a while, it went back and forth. Well, if the chicken lays the egg and there are chickens in the egg, well, then where was it? It's a good little exercise. And it's pretty inane compared to what you've got going on when you look at what's happening in Portland. I mean, that's the inane consideration, blaming federal agents for the violence that's happening in Portland. They were sent in to protect federal properties. In fact, they are under statute. They must. We'll get to that in more detail in a moment. But here's the mayor of Portland blaming the federal agents for being there and saying they are causing issues and they, quote, are sharply escalating the situation. Their presence is leading to more violence, more vandalism. Well, now I'll give you some balance to hear the reaction and response from the acting Customs and Border Patrol Commissioner, Mark Morgan.
It's actually a stupid statement that's not based in reality or fact. Look, the reality here is this violence began in his city well before we deployed additional resources there. And these individuals we're talking about are not protesters, but they're criminals. Every night, they're willfully coordinating, organizing, and planning to intentionally attack and destroy federal property and harm federal agents and officers. Those are criminals. That's who we're talking about. That's why we're there.
Exactly. And when they were, quote, protesting before the federal agents went in, they were already attacking federal facilities and city facilities. They were going through the streets with hammers, Molotov cocktails, bricks, whatever they chose to bring that they could throw at anyone who tried to stand between what they wanted to do and they wanted anarchy. There is no question, there's no doubt here as to which came first. It's not a chicken or egg question. It is clear. The violence by, quote, protesters. And I'm about to the point where I'm going to quit using the term protesters, because even while protesters, under a First Amendment guarantee, have a right for peaceful assembly, these are not doing that. They're coming looking for violence and to create violence. Now, there may well be within their midst some folks who are really just there, just trying to make a point, carry a sign honoring George Floyd, and calling for, you know, a review of police issues and or defunding police if that's what they want to do, but they're not coming armed to attack police and buildings and destroy. The other issue being raised by those who don't like these federal troops there, they're trying to claim that they're not properly trained for this kind of event. Here again, the words of Acting Customs Border Patrol Commissioner Mark Morgan.
Kind of ironic. So they're saying they're highly trained, but then they're not trained. So these individuals, as well as from our Office of Field Operation, our Special Response Team, they are specifically trained in this. We have over 300 ports of entry, a lot of those land ports of entry, which we have individuals who come to that in large groups and protest on a regular basis. So not only are they trained, but they're highly experienced in exactly these types of situations.
Yeah, and yes, the normal training for them would be to use them for a, quote, type of Customs Border Patrol SWAT team, drug inquiries and busting up drug rings and so forth, but they do get additional training. And the ones being sent in to protect the buildings also have that training. That is like saying that a member of the Army is trained only to do this. Most members of the Army and our armed forces have more than one, quote, MOS. They may not be as proficient in one as the other, but they're often given training in different areas of possible need. They may be a cook, but they're darn sure trained to be a gunman if they have to, in the sense of going out on patrol, being a grunt. So the whole argument from the mayor of Portland, well, these guys aren't really trained. And then he said, well, they're trained too much. It is ironic, isn't it? And I mentioned to you a moment ago that under statutory law, federal agents have to protect federal facilities.
We actually have a statutory responsibility. The Federal Protective Service has a statutory responsibility to protect federal buildings. And they also have the statutory authority to do that. That's why we're there. And again, I'll restate, the violence started well before we put additional resources there. But we actually had credible information that the federal buildings were going to be attacked. That's what led us to putting more resources there. And guess what? That's exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened. In the meantime, the mayor of Portland, Wheeler, joining with other mayors, Chicago, Atlanta, and other big cities, sending a letter, separate letters, one to Attorney General Bill Barr and Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf, the other to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, and also Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, the Republican, saying, we object to federal agents conducting law enforcement activities in our cities without coordinating with local authorities. Deployment of federal forces in the streets of our communities has not been requested, nor is it acceptable. By the way, among those mayors signing off on that, the Kansas City mayor, Quentin Lucas. And of course, some of them are saying, look, we're seeing them make arrests of people that are nowhere near one of the protest events. Well, I don't know if they tracked that person from one of the vents and saw them throw something and then found them and took them into custody, or maybe when they found them they thought they had something, or maybe they feared they were, I don't know. And neither do these guys. That's the point. They don't either. And if you don't want to be arrested, don't walk around and all dressed in black, your face covered, and carrying things that certainly could be used as a weapon. I'm going to tell you about something that happened up in Chicago, reference the Columbus statue over the last week, and how they came prepared for battle. But every time we have these incidents happen, the left comes running out and blames Trump. Trump's to blame for this one also. He's sending federal agents in. He did not send them into Seattle. And you remember why? He told the mayor of Seattle, if you do not get control of your situation, your city, then I will send them in. Now, whether or not that was enough for her to make that decision, we do know that the day after these protesters decided to gather at her house and make noise against her, suddenly she decided to shut down the Chaz Chop Zone. And it came to an end. So Trump never had to send them in. By the way, speaking of Seattle, we'd pointed out to you that one of those weekends in the so-called Summer of Love Free Fest Zone that we were having, according to the mayor at that time, a 19-year-old was killed. Remember that? Police couldn't even get to the scene because they were being blocked by these protesters saying this is a no-cop zone. They still don't know who shot the kid or how it happened, and there was other violence. But the mother of that 19-year-old who died in the so-called chop zone now filing a wrongful death suit against the city, claiming the dangerous environment likely contributed to her son bleeding out in the street for 20 minutes before anyone could get him to a hospital. She said her son was not an activist, just there to learn about the Black Lives Matter movement. Well, police say we knew about the shooting. We couldn't get to him. No one would let us near him. They supposed they're going to care for him, and then they took him to the hospital. And the mother's claiming in her suit that if you'd allowed the police in and EMT crews, maybe they could have saved my boy. So I'm glad she's holding the city accountable. I don't see her filing suit against Donald Trump on that. It's the mayors that allow this in these cities. And there are going to be other cases like that. Which, by the way, in Minneapolis, of course, that's where all this started after the death of George Floyd and all the protests that started. They just yesterday, going through the wreckage of a pawn shop that got set on fire by protesters exercising their First Amendment rights, but also carrying Molotov cocktails and other devices. They just went through the wreckage of a pawn shop that had been torched during that protest, and they have found a body, an adult male. They just now found that someone died in that fire. And in the midst of all of this effort to blame Trump and say that by sending in federal troops, you're creating more unrest, you're creating more violence, you've got this shield of moms showing up the other day wearing yellow shirts, all dressed in yellow. And they say, we are here to stop all of this violence. But they're not really there to stop the violence and those causing it. They're there to stop federal agents. It's called a wall of moms, about 70 of them wearing these yellow shirts, and now being joined by some fathers also wearing yellow shirts last night, forming a human shield between protesters and the officers, federal and our city, outside a federal courthouse in Portland. But they're not there trying to de-escalate the violence in the sense of getting the crowd to stand down, because they're the ones bringing the weapons of assault and create arson. No, they're standing there shouting out, moms are here, feds stay clear. In other words, it's very clear their objective is, again, to support the left and allow the feds or order the feds to leave so the protesters can burn, loot, and destroy federal facilities. Because I guarantee you, If those federal agents weren't there, this federal courthouse would have burned down already. They had a fire in there the other day. But they got it out. It was in a small entryway. They got it out quickly. They've had a police precinct headquarters catch fire in Portland. Does that sound like peaceful protesting? Again, I want you to hear the words of the acting Customs Border Patrol Commissioner Mark Morgan as to what's going on in Portland and why they are there in the first place.
We've had both police stations and federal buildings boarded up with commercial-grade fireworks launched in these buildings to set them on fire with people inside. So to answer your question, what we need is we need local leaders to stop saying ridiculous, irresponsible things, reach out to these protesters, and get the police to work with us to go out and stop and arrest these criminals. That's what needs to be done. But they refuse to do it.
They refuse to do it. And now, as I said, you've got this wall of moms that says we're here to stop the violence, but they're not really trying to stop those causing the violence. They just want to stand between the protesters and police and tell the feds to go home. And, oh, by the way, they also are shouting out or singing in a lullaby, hands up, don't shoot. The lie that came out of the Michael Brown shooting in Ferguson. And then we have what happened in Chicago. As police officers were dispatched to city police, dispatched to protect a statue, the Columbus statue. And police were ambushed and they were attacked not by First Amendment protesters, but rioters built on harm, chaos, and anarchy. That story coming up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, for some time, there's been debate over a Christopher Columbus statue in Chicago. It was put in place in 1933 as the Chicago city celebrated its 100th anniversary, hosting the World's Fair, as a matter of fact. And this bronze statue was presented by the Italian-American community, raising the funds for it. Well, now, of course, in the day of cancel culture, it's got to come down, got to come down, because they've already toppled statues of Confederate President Jefferson Davis, ripping a cast of Charles Lynn, a captain of Confederate Navy, from his base in Birmingham, Alabama, other historical figures, and certainly now for Columbus, a violent colonizer who was responsible for the deaths of countless indigenous Americans. This is at Grant Park in Chicago. Over this last Friday and into the weekend, Friday evening in particular, let me put it that way, hundreds of protesters showing up trying to bring it down, topple it. In the past, it's been vandalized with paint and everything else. The mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, has said, I don't want it to come down. We should not tear it down. And she's condemning the protesters as unacceptable, their violence. But at the same time, turning around urging anyone who thinks they were mistreated by police to file a complaint. She's trying to walk on both sides, obviously. But the police who were dispatched to protect the statue, almost 50 of the officers injured, and at last report, maybe 18 or more still in the hospital. Why? From the protesters? Well, they showed up with umbrellas that they would all raise as if a Viking assault upon a castle, to protect police throwing anything at them. And from the umbrellas, they would reach out and suddenly throw a bottle of urine, a brick, anything else they wanted to throw and hit police with, which they did. So the officers were injured. All they could do is stand there and take incoming repeatedly. And all these guys also, in addition to bricks and rocks and bottles of urine, had fireworks, frozen bottles of water, and other objects. Police used batons and apparently at one point appeared to be using what's tear gas to get folks to disperse. And, of course, here came the rage from the protesters and those supporting them saying, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Why are you attacking us? If they were peaceful protesters and they'd simply been there and not doing anything, then nothing would have happened. Nothing would have happened. But they were there looking to not only rip it down, but attack police. In fact, they had pieces of PVC pipe that had been sharpened, cut to look like a spear that they could throw and are used to jab at police officers, which they did. The storyline, of course, from the protesters, we were just there to protest. We want the statue to come down. But the video clearly shows coming with their umbrellas, putting them up, attacking police from under the umbrellas, and then covering themselves back up again as if they were shields. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. Hillary Clinton trying to make herself relevant again, and also the hypocrisy of the mainstream media when it comes to Trump, maybe at some point saying the N-word, and Joe Biden saying the N-word repeatedly and yet being given a pass because he's one of the leftists, you know. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Said I don't want to leave you lonely. You gotta make me change my mind.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
I want to give you a chance to respond to the fact that Donald Trump has now commuted the sentence of at least one of the people who was listening. Russia was clearly listening, but so was Roger Stone. What do you make of the commutation of his sentence?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that Stone threatened him. He probably threatened him privately, but he also threatened him publicly about what he would say if he had to go to prison. And this is a continuation of the cover-up. It's an ongoing cover-up that Trump and Stone are two of the major participants in to try to prevent us from knowing all of the details about what they actually did in 2016.
I know you recognize the beginning voice of President Trump and the remarks he made during the campaign in 2016, joking around when all the focus and question was about Clinton Hillary's private server and what she turned over for investigators and what she deleted, saying that, well, they're private things, like my yoga class scheduling and planning a wedding and drapes for the house. And so I deleted those because I knew they were no value. And Trump made the remark, Russia, if you're listening, if you got those emails, we'd sure like to see them. And then the next voice that said, I wanted you to hear that and go back to that point. Those were the words of Joy Reid, now on MSNBC with a primetime position. And she was referring and asking the next voice you heard, and that shrill, shrieking voice you recognize as Hillary Clinton. Again, trying to be relevant. Mainstream media is trying to keep her relevant. And asking, reference the commutation recently of Roger Stone by President Trump. As you heard Hillary Clinton say, well, I think that the whole idea, we have evidence in public that Trump was asking for Russia help and to be involved in the election and to make sure he won. And then behind the scenes, Roger Stone knew what was going on behind the scenes. And Roger Stone, if he actually had to go to prison, was going to end up rolling over on Trump. And she says that's why Stone got his sentence commuted, so he won't have to go to prison. And, of course, she's still insisting. We did have an issue with the Russians back during that time. I mean, after all, listen, the lady would not have won. She would not have lost the election. In her view, she never would have lost the election if it hadn't been for Russian collusion. Oh, I know we just finished 2.5+ years of the so-called Russian Mueller investigation and came back nada, nothing. And even though we had Democrats coming and going on the hearings and saying once they came outside, well, I can't really tell you what happened, but it's going to happen any moment. We, you know, there's some damaging stuff coming down. It's going to hurt Trump. And yet when they were forced to testify later and those statements were released and made public, not one of them had any evidence of any collusion involving any Trump campaign official of any point at any time with the Russians. What we did have is Hillary Clinton and the DNC paying for a dossier created by a, quote, spy who just simply made it up. And even the FBI had to acknowledge, yeah, we don't have any belief that this is real, but we're going to use it. And again, Hillary right now is saying this is what Trump's going to do again this time around. Here she is, referenced the commutation for Roger Stone by President Trump.
What he did was to use the awesome power of commutation as part of the pardon power of the president to basically shut up Roger Stone.
Yeah.
So that Roger Stone would not spill any more beans about what actually happened and how much Donald Trump actually knew.
And of course, she says again, now we may, if he hadn't done that and Stone had actually had to go to prison, we would have learned more about the cover-up. Now, that is something Hillary knows about. Hillary knows about cover-ups. Believe me, the woman, I think if you look in the dictionary, it may say cover-up perfected by Hillary Clinton. We have, of course, in this time and day and age, the push to blame Trump for anything and everything. And there are times that he deserves to be called out. I've done it numerous times. I'm not going to support Trump blindly each and every day. I don't do it. But the left just will not find any balance, no balance whatsoever. I read to you earlier a poll by the Wall Street Journal and NBC News. I had this in News and Commentary earlier. According to the Wall Street Journal NBC News survey, of those questioned, 56% agreed that American society is racist. 56%. 66% of women believe it. Only 46% of men. A majority of white, black, and Hispanics all agreed U.S. society is racist. 51% of whites believe it is. That compares to 60% of Hispanics who believe it is. 78% of black surveyed believe it's racist. Now, when you look closer at the poll as to why there's race-based discrimination, of black voters, 65% said racism is systemic, built into various institutions and policies. 65% of black. White voters divided on how they answered the question, and the largest segment, 48%, said discrimination was a result of racist individuals, not a society, not laws. We've had moved past that, but you still have people out there that are racist, and they're showing it every time. You know, I've been watching it. It just came to Netflix, The Last Dance with Michael Jordan. Great piece, isn't it, Quentin? My daughter had seen it a while back, and it was on ESPN. I just hadn't had a chance to see it, but now I'm watching it, and I think I ran through three of them quickly last night. But one of the pieces that struck me about Michael Jordan, very humble at every point, you know, and when he was learning and trying to get better and so forth. And his mother would talk about her husband as Mr. Jordan, the way she referred to him. And Michael acknowledged, my parents raised me, and they had 10 kids. They had to raise us. And he pointed out that his mother made it clear to him, in fact, she was appearing in the documentary as well, saying, we told them basically, nothing holds you back except yourself. You go out and do what you want to do. It's you. In other words, they did not make an excuse. Well, you're black. You're born in a poor part of the world. You're just not going to ever get, they never said that to him. They never one time put a a ceiling over and saying, well, you cannot go any farther than this. Do what you can and what you want. And for all the so-called racism that exists in Chicago, Chicago loved the man. Whites and blacks and Hispanics. It made no difference. Mary Trump, part of the Trump family. Donald Trump is one of her uncles. She has been pushing a book. I don't know if I'll bother telling you the title, but basically the whole idea is to damage Donald Trump going into this election. Now, she had been quoted in a newspaper article, not actually in the book, but quoted in a newspaper article that it was not, that she said it was sort of normal while in growing up in my family to hear the N-word. So she's on the program with Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, and Rachel Maddow decided, I want to look at that question about Trump and the N-word.
I have to press you on it a little bit. If the president, if your uncle was an exception to that in your family, or if he, if you heard, you ever heard him express either use anti-Semitic slurs or the N-word or other racist slurs or other sentiments like that, do you mean this was an ambient thing in your family, but you can't say that you ever heard it from him, or did you hear it from him too?
Oh yeah, of course I did. And I don't think that should surprise anybody, given how virulently racist he is today.
Have you heard the president use the N-word?
Yeah.
You see how she had to press her over and over again? And she said, yeah, I have. I think she made it up on the spot. I do. And she had been interviewed. Mary Trump had been interviewed by, I think it was the Washington Post prior to that. That's what Rachel Maddow was referring to, because Maddow points out something else in the statement you're getting ready to hear. Because Mary Trump has out this book that supposedly is going to gut Trump and show everything bad he did. But that wasn't actually in the book. So here's Maddow pointing out that the White House had a response to this issue.
I need to tell you, we did ask the White House tonight for a response to Mary Trump's claims that she has heard the president use anti-Semitic slurs and racial slurs, including specifically the N-word. The White House gave us this statement in response. They said, quote, "This is a book of falsehoods, plain and simple. The president doesn't use those words." To be clear, this claim that Mary Trump says she's heard the president use the N-word and other racist slurs and anti-Semitic slurs, that claim isn't actually from her book. It's just something she said in this interview. So them denouncing the book doesn't help.
Yeah, but if it was so damning, why didn't she put it in the book? Or did it look like something that, let's kind of throw this in now. And then we look at how MSNBC treated Joe Biden and the N-word. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
And all those things I didn't say.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Mary Trump, who's the niece of President Trump, had put out this book that she was going to gut him and be damaging and damning to him going into the election. But then when she was being interviewed by the Washington Post, she kind of started talking about how it was common in my family to hear the N-word kind of thrown around. Not that I took part in it, but I heard it. And then when she's on MSNBC with Rachel Maddow, Rachel presses her on that. You heard it in the previous segment. If you didn't, make sure you go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, and listen to the podcast later. But Maddow pressed her, said, I want to get into this more detail. Did you hear him say this? And she kind of danced it around again. And finally, flat out said, have you heard the president use the N-word? And Mary Trump said, yeah. In other words, she almost had to force her to admit it as if it were never happening. Believe me, don't you think Mary Trump if she had known about that, would she not have put that in the book if she wanted to do something to hurt Donald Trump? That would have been a chapter to itself, but it wasn't. It's not in the book at all. So when the White House was asked by MSNBC, how do you respond to Mary Trump? Their response is, everything in the book is false. Rachel Maddow kind of coyly saying, well, this wasn't in the book. It was not even in the book. In other words, suggesting so because they're denouncing the book, they're not really denouncing what she said. All right, that's the way the mainstream media wants to treat it and try to pin the word, the N-word, on Trump. MSNBC's Joy Reid, who just began hosting her new program after Chris Matthews was ousted, her first interview was going to be Joe Biden. It's obviously a big getting an interview with the Democrat candidate for president. Could become president of the U.S. Could become. Well, the day she was to have the interview, Breitbart News had out a story about how Biden had used the N-word 13 times in 1985. And even Georgia State Representative Vernon Jones, a black Democrat, was saying, Joy Reid's got to ask Biden about this. Vernon Jones, a black Democrat, is backing Donald Trump in November. But he said, you can't do an interview basically with Biden and not ask that word about him using the N-word. Joy Reid, a black woman hosting that program on our new primetime show with Joe Biden, did not raise that question one single time. Not one time did she say, did you ever use the N-word in any way? Now, the fact is, Biden was quoting someone else when he used it 13 times in three separate hearings in 1985. It's in U.S. Senate hearing transcripts. 3 days of hearings in the U.S. Senate in 1985, and he's quoting someone else, but he still finds to use the N-word in its entirety 13 times. He didn't say the N-word, he used the word. If Trump had been even quoting someone else using the word, not just saying the N-word, but saying the word, do you think they would cut him a pass? Of course not. Larry, are you an idiot? Well, sometimes I could be, but on this case I'm not, and neither are you. But here was Joy Reid, her first big interview, Joe Biden. And that day the story broke and was getting exceptional viral coverage about how Biden had used, not just referencing, quote, the N-word, but the actual word itself 13 times. Now, I want to stress to you again, he was doing it in Senate hearings, reading quotes involving someone else. But don't you think the better way would have been to say N-word and not use the actual word? Now, again, this is 1985. At the time, maybe they thought it was okay, even among the Democrats, to use it. All she had to do was ask him and give him a chance to explain, well, why I was doing it, I was quoting someone else, and at that time, we weren't woke. And you have to remember, in our society, at one point, black Americans were called Negroes. That later changed. Don't want to be called that. Just want to be called black Americans. And some don't want to even be called black Americans, saying, I am an American. Just call me black. You don't have to say black American or black African American, rather, as some were wanting to use. So they didn't want to use that. Said, just call me black. It's their decision. It's their life, what they want. And yet we still have the NAACP, the National Colored People. That's what that's all about. National Association of Colored People, and they continue to use that. Times change. It doesn't mean what was done then was necessarily wrong or damaging, or maybe if it were, no one was doing justice, and now we should right that to some extent. But here was a chance for MSNBC on Joy Reid to ask Biden, explain, just simply explain, not in condemning, just say, stories are out here, you use that word 13 times, not just the N-word, but the actual word. Why? And let him explain it. It was a good explanation he had, to the extent I'm quoting someone else in Senate hearings. But Rachel Maddow bent over, just doing her best to get Mary Trump, say, hey, didn't your uncle use the N-word, didn't he? And finally said, yeah. And that's all she needed. Do you smell the hypocrisy? If you do, It stinks, doesn't it? It absolutely stinks. All right. Let's kind of regroup for tomorrow. Believe me, I got a lot of more material to cover, and then I'll try to get in some of it tomorrow. Who knows what's going to happen overnight. But you can let your friends and neighbors know we will be here again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.